Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
The foundation text for our study is Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, 24 through 34. But our first text for today is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 30. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 30. The theme of this series is outside of salvation, the most important issue and theme for a believer to understand. That is, once a person is saved, that is, the Spirit of Christ has come to live within, the rest of that person's life is spent growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through that, having their minds renewed. So therefore, it is important that every believer understand this word merimna that Jesus introduced to everyone in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. Merimna means having the occupation of the attention of the mind. Not to occupy the mind, but to occupy the attention of the mind. Jesus presented three things in that text in Matthew 6. Number one, that human beings were created with the capacity to only be able to serve one thing. That's it. To only be able to be occupied and have the capacity to be occupied with one thing, period. Therefore, in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, because of this reason, take no thought for your life. That's the word merimna. Not even the basic necessities. Don't allow your mind, the attention of your mind, to be caught up with things, even the very necessities of life that you could say, well, the necessities of life are important for me to be occupied with, right? We have to exist. And Jesus said, no. Satan will even use the necessities of life to occupy someone's the attention of their mind. So therefore, verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And all the other things that you're worried about, all the other things that you need, they will be added. You don't have to think about it and worry about it. They'll be taken care of. You take your capacity to only be occupied and serve one thing, take that and seek first the kingdom of God for your life, period. Don't be occupied with the other things. That's why we took 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, where Peter says that we need to cast all of our care, our anxiety, our merimna. We need to cast it all upon the Lord because Satan is walking around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That doesn't mean destroy. In context, he's talking about he's looking for Christians who are susceptible to having the occupation of the attention of their mind taken away from Christ so he can find out what it is. He always approaches a believer by saying, what is it? What activity? What person? What thing in life can I use to occupy the attention of your mind and take you away from Christ with your mind? Can't take you away from Christ in your soul. So Satan cannot take away our salvation, but what he can do is attempt to derail maturity and growth. Because maturity and growth comes with the renewing of the mind. And if our minds are busy, we're not there. We're not there to occupy our attention with the things of Christ. So in Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower, we saw in verse 14 that the word of God falls in amongst weeds and thorns that represent the cares, there's our word merimna, the cares and the wealth and the pleasures of life. And what Jesus said was, when the word of God falls in amongst your activity with the things of the world, and I want you to catch this now, because with this and the next scripture text, it's saying the same thing, but in two different circumstances. In other words, if I hear the word of God, and then the rest of the week go out into the world, be occupied with the world, Jesus says that will cancel out the effectiveness of the word. You can't do both. You can go out into the world, but if you're occupied, if you allow it to consume you, take over your life, the influence of the word will be nullified. That's why in Luke chapter 10, when we studied Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, Mary and Martha, you remember Martha was in the kitchen, cooking food. Jesus was in her living room teaching. Mary, her sister, was sitting at Jesus' feet, and the whole crowd was in there, and she's in the kitchen, all upset, and comes stomping in and stands over Jesus and says, "Don't you care? Aren't you concerned that my sister has left me alone to serve?" And apparently Jesus nodded yes, because Martha comes back and says, "Well, then tell her to help me." And he says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But Mary has chosen the good meal, the good portion, while you're in there trying to cook the physical food." Which, if you look at the scene, is perfectly justified, because somebody's got to cook the meal for all these people. Somebody's got to be the hostess, right? And the moral of the teaching was that Jesus was saying, even serving Christ in a justifiable way in the human, even service to Christ, you can be occupied with that rather than hearing the word. See, in one instance, in the parable of the sower, it's hearing the word, then going out and getting caught up in the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life cancels out the effectiveness of the word. You hear one, you go out and do another. In the Mary Martha situation, her occupation in serving Christ was happening at the same time the word was being given. Her choice was to serve. And Jesus said, "No, you're occupied with serving. You need to turn the burners off. Come in and sit down and listen to the word." So you get the point, right? Occupied with the things of Christ. Last week, we took 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the chapter on marriage. The Gentiles had questions about marriage for Paul, the Apostle Paul. How do we handle the marriage situation when somebody receives Christ but they're married to a non-believer and they're a believer? What do we do? Are we supposed to divorce them? Are we supposed to go by the Jewish law? I mean, how is it that we're supposed to handle this particular situation? And basically what Paul said was, whatever circumstance you're in when you receive Christ, serve the Lord in it. Yet if the non-believer wants to leave, let him leave. In fact, that's a command. If you were saved as a slave, serve the Lord by being a slave. If you're allowed your freedom, take it. But if not, serve Christ in it. Whatever situation you're in, serve Christ. But then I told you the five basic principles of life for the Christian from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 and 30. The five basic principles of life. First of all, Paul says, for those of you who have wives, be as though you don't have wives. Secondly, those who are weeping as though not weeping. It's not wrong to cry. It's not wrong to weep. We know from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to cry, and there's a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. So if you're grieving and you have to cry, then cry. Just don't get consumed in it. That those who rejoice should be as not rejoicing. Don't get consumed in it. That those who purchase things should be as though they don't possess them. That's one of the biggies. See, because in reality, in our culture, when you buy something, it owns you. You don't own it. You're its servant. Purchase without possessing. We all have to buy things. But buy it as though we don't own it. Buy it as though it doesn't own us. And then he says, be using the world without overusing it. We all have to go out in the world. We have to sustain our life. We have to live. We're on this planet. We're on this earth. Go out and use the world for your life and your sustenance. Don't overuse it. Most of our problems come in that we have taken in too much of the world into our lives. It's overcome us. We have so many possessions that they own us. So you can see what he's saying. In fact, he summarizes it. In fact, let me read his examples in verses 32 and 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because it has to do with our texts for today. Paul says, let me give an example. The unmarried man cares about the things of the Lord. The word care is the word merimna in verb form, merimnao. So the unmarried man is occupied with the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but the married man is occupied with how he may please his wife from out of the world. He says in verse 34 of 1 Corinthians 7 that the woman or the virgin that who's not married, she cares, she's occupied with the things of the Lord, how she may serve him in body, soul, and spirit. But the married woman is occupied, she cares about how she may please her husband from out of the world. Now, in each of those instances, he used our word. Occupied. He didn't say it's wrong for you to be married and be occupied. He's saying it is natural. Expect it. The more people you take into your life, the more you're going to be occupied with things other than Christ. If you have 10 children, you can imagine how many people out of that 10 plus you, husband and wife, is 12 people. How many people would be clamoring to go out into the world for their pleasures and satisfactions? And you've got to try to follow the Lord. You get all these people saying, no, 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 I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to go there. Remember, you only have the capacity to be occupied with one thing. So that's why he began by saying, those who have wives as though they have not. In other words, your devotion to the Lord should not change just because you got married. Still should be devoted to Christ. But I point your attention out that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 and 34, that the word care, merimna, is presented as somebody who is occupied with the things of the Lord. Up till now, it's been presented as prohibitive. Don't get occupied with the things of the world. Don't. You get occupied with the things of the world, you will not be occupied with Christ. Now we're introduced with the principle that there is a positive, progressive side to this, is that not only are you not to be occupied with other things, but you are to be occupied with Christ. The less you have in the world that demands your time and attention, the less you have, the more you can be occupied with the things of the Lord, because you only have the capacity to be occupied with one. Not several. And he says in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 7, I am saying all this to you for your benefit, not to put a noose around your neck. I'm not trying to ruin your party. I'm just trying to accomplish two things. Number one, that you might know how to conduct yourself properly in this earthly life. And number two, that your devotion to the Lord would be without distraction. That's what it's all about. And what Satan does is he comes along and says, how can I take you away from the Word of God? How can I take you away from being focused on and following Jesus Christ's will for your life? How can I keep you, detour you, distract you from following Christ today? Too many things going on, too many places to go, too many things to do. What do they have to do with anything? So today, I want to emphasize this point to you. We have two pieces of scripture very quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 30. This is entitled The Portrayal of Boasting. It comes from our Mastering the Bible series that we took on Thursday nights. This is the section where Paul said he was forced to boast about his accomplishments in Christ. Can you imagine that? He is going to present himself as being out of his mind by doing this. He says, I'm speaking deliriously. The false teachers had come into Corinth. Now, this is very important for many reasons, not just for our word study. Paul says, false teachers have come into Corinth. Compare them to me. The portrayal of boasting. Paul's now going to boast about his accomplishments in Christ to show that he's original and these other false teachers are false. But I'm warning you now, his boasting is all the difficult, hard things he had to suffer. Not accomplishments like, I preached to 5,000 last night. I had a church of 10,000 once. Had nothing to do with that. He starts out, verse 22, are they Hebrews? Also am I. Are they Israelites? Also am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? Also am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Do they present themselves as ministers of Christ? Listen to this. I speak being delirious. I am beyond them. If I stood up in front of the church on Sunday morning and made a statement like that, you'd say, Pastor Bill has totally flipped. All those pastors in town, are they ministers of Christ? I'm beyond them. You say, whoa, dude. Sisquak's gone to your head. No wonder you're out in Sisquak. But listen to this. In labors more abundantly. Means to labor to the point of exhaustion. In stripes, that is, he was beaten immeasurably. Couldn't count them all. In prisons more abundantly than them. In situations of death often. By the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. it was against the law to beat someone according to Jewish penalty, punishable by death. If you were to beat someone 40 times and you miscount and beat them 41, then it's on you. So they would whip them 40 times minus one. They go 39 just in case they're counting wrong. Then they would get it right on 40. By the Jews, five times I received this whipping. It's for being a Christian. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. He's not talking about drugs. Literally taken out of the city and pelted with stones and left for dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have passed in the deep, floating around out in the water. And then also in travels. You got to travel a lot to serve Christ. They didn't have airplanes in those days. You walked or took a ship. In dangers of rivers, in dangers of robbers, in dangers of my race, that's the Jewish people, in dangers from the Gentiles, anybody who's not Jewish, in dangers while being in the city, in dangers while being in the desert, in dangers in the sea, in dangers amongst false brothers, in labor and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, being deprived of food and drink, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, that is, not being totally naked but not having sufficient clothing in the cold. So see what he's doing? I'm more of a servant than they are. Look at what all I've had to go through. And the successful ones are, and they would come into town, they would literally tell the people this prosperity gospel, and the people gave them their money and made them rich. And they said, see, success. Look, people, the Apostle Paul, when he was here in town, he had to get a job, didn't he? Look at us, wealthy and healthy, and the people just bought into it, literally. And Paul said, that's why in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, when I was in town, I didn't want to offend anybody by taking financial support, so I went and got a job so that you would come and hear the gospel and it would not offend you if you had to give. But he says, now forgive me for that wrong, because now these guys come into town, you give them all your money. I should not have taken it easy on you. Should have made you live up to your responsibility if you're going to give it away to false teachers. And then now the description of that thing from inside. This is all the outside things he had to suffer. Look at verse 28. Apart from the things outside, that is everything that he's just listed, apart from this, I have the pressure upon me according to each day. I give it to you literally. The English text will say daily, but in the Greek text, it's according to each day. One at a time, every single day. Day after day, the pressure upon me, the care of all the assemblies. Our word care is the word merimnah. Positively occupied with not only Christ, but the assemblies of believers and all the false doctrine going on, all the people, all the problems that are going on. Not only the external things I have to go through, but the internal things I have to go through. I have the pressure on me. These things come on me, the constant care of all the assemblies, all of them. He says, who is weak? And I am not weak. So he's admitting it. They say, well, Paul's just weak. He says, yeah, I'm weak. Who is offended? And I myself am not being burned. You ever heard that term before? Yeah, I used to go to church and I got burned. So I just didn't go back. biblically, it's people in the congregation get offended. It's the pastors that get burned. So who's offended? Who's being offended? And I am not being burned. Are you kidding me? I'm not the success story. I suffer along just like everybody else does. I'm weak like everybody else is. I suffer like everyone. Now listen to verse 30. If to boast is necessary, if I have to do this, I will boast of the things of my weakness. Wow. There's no positive thinking there. I will share with you out of my weaknesses and all the things I have to suffer for serving Christ. There is no human success story. It's sacrifice and suffering. That's what it is. Whether it be a Christian or whether it be somebody like the Apostle Paul who is serving Christ, it's to the extent that we're willing to sacrifice and suffer. Not only for the sake of Christ, but for other people. Very quickly, the next text, Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. You get the idea that it's not just prohibitive, it's not just make sure you're not occupied with anything else other than the things of Christ, but rather in the positive direction, we are to be occupied with the things of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24, the proof of character and fellowship. Paul says, now I hope, he's speaking to the Christians in Philippi, now I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, in order that I myself may be of comfort after I have known the things concerning you. So I'm sending Timothy. We're all concerned about you. We hear there's some problems. We don't know what's going on. There's no telephones. There's no communication system. So I'm sending Timothy. He's going to find out what's going on. And when he brings me word, then it's going to bring good comfort to me. You can understand Paul's occupied with the things of the assemblies. He's concerned about people's spiritual welfare. It's what he's involved in, occupied with. Listen to verse 20. This explains why he's sending Timothy. For I have, and listen to the literal translation. For I have not even one person who's like-minded. None other than Timothy. Emphasized in the Greek. It's not just I have no one. I have not even one person who's like-minded, who genuinely will care for the things concerning you. The word care is our word merimna. He's the only one that I have that's just like me that is concerned about your spiritual welfare. He's the only person I have out of all the people that we've got here who will genuinely, sincerely care about your spiritual things. And here's the reason why, verse 21. For all are seeking the things of themselves and not the things of Christ Jesus. All, everybody. In fact, in the Greek text, it's the definite article. For the all people, other than Timothy. Everybody is seeking their own things and not the things of Christ Jesus. That's why I can only send Timothy. He's the only one that cares. But verse 22, but you know the proof of him. You know his proven character. That as a son to a father, he served with me for the gospel. This on the one hand, this one, meaning Timothy, on the one hand, therefore, I hope to send immediately whenever I should see the things concerning me. But on the other hand, I have been persuaded in the Lord that also I myself will come to you soon. Where the word merimna is used in a positive way. We are to be occupied with the things of Christ. We are to be seeking the things of Christ. Because if we're not, then we're occupied with something else. Period. maybe what we should do for one another in our encouragements when we call one another and talk to each other or get emails or text one another, and people are talking about their activities and what they're going to do, maybe we should encourage one another by saying, are you seeking the things of Christ or are you seeking the things of yourself? If you're not occupied with Christ, it has to be something else. I'm not talking about psychology and I got to concentrate on Jesus Christ. And don't talk to me. I'm concentrating on Jesus Christ. To occupy the attention of the mind involves relating with people and circumstances and the things of life. But is it because of me following Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 7 tells us there will be a natural distraction just being involved in this earthly life. But the point is, are we on the path to be occupied with and seeking the things of Christ for our life and being cognizant of this and making sure that we get back on track, making sure we are following the Lord, because we can be distracted so easy, be going in a different direction. What are you searching for? What are you looking for? Well, I'm thinking of why? Are you seeking the things of Christ or the things of yourself? Remember that Satan is a roaring lion. He's looking around for the things or the people or the circumstances that'll take people away from the Word of God, away from the things of Christ, away from the Lord's will for their life, for them to be changed and transformed. We have to be aware of that. Paul says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We have to understand what's going on. I think one of my favorite phrases is to hear someone tell me, yeah, I've been kind of going along struggling, and then I realized what was going on. They saw the whole picture. They realized what was happening to them. Enlightenment, epiphany. Ooh. Yeah, I see what's going on. Okay, I get it. Satan's trying to derail me. Next week we finish out this series on what to do when we are occupied with things other than Christ. Paul actually tells us in Philippians chapter 4 what we are to do about it. In fact, he states there that we are not to be occupied with one thing, zero, none, other than Christ. So he tells us what to do. So next week in Philippians chapter 4, I hope you can sense the importance of this teaching and this issue within the body of Christ in the early church. Jesus laid the foundation, and then Peter and Paul and all of them took off with it, because it is the major issue for every believer. The major issue for every believer. Satan is scouting us. He knows what the things are that will take us away from Christ. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. We thank you for the life and teaching of the early church that you gave to them and for their teaching to us. And how we're learning wisdom and knowledge, but how it applies to everyday life. It's not just a religion. It's how it pertains to everyday life, to an interactive, personal walk with Christ. There are things in life that Satan tries to distract us and divert our attention and detour us from our relationship with Christ. Help us to be alert. Help us to be watchful, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be looking for it. Be watching. for Satan to bring the things along that will occupy the attention of our mind and derail us from our growth in Christ. We pray by your Spirit you would help us to understand these things. It's beyond us as people. It's beyond our logic and reason. And yet we need enlightenment to understand really what's happening to us each and every day, how Satan is coming to us to not take away our salvation or to take us away from Jesus Christ, but take our attention away from our relationship with and serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.